flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive. Congratulations on getting through. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, the Odyssey app. You can also stream the show online, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, all of those things. We are talking about the survey that the Chiefs sent out there, and I would highly encourage every single person listening to at least go give it a look. So if you go on the Chiefs website, you can take the survey. You don't need to be a season ticket holder. Don't need to live in Jackson County. You just can go on there and take the survey. There are two different surveys. There is one for a renovation, which I am very much in favor of. Or there is one for a new stadium, which I'm not opposed to. I just understand that's the way the world works. But my ideal scenario would for them to be to put a significant amount of money into the stadium that they already have. I did pick up a couple of very important kind of news and notes as I took both of these surveys. They are really intrigued by the idea of having a general admission ticket where some people would have a seat, some people would not have a seat, kind of like a SRO situation. Those of you that go to Kauffman Stadium, you know what I'm talking about. You can buy one of those tickets where if you simply just want to go to a Royals game, you necessarily don't have a seat, but you can be in the outfield, walk around, feel the game day atmosphere. Maybe you find you a seat that you can slip into and watch the game that way. I think the Chiefs are entertaining the possibility of having those kind of tickets. They also, when here, were pretty solid, Rob, on where do you want the stadium to be. They had three options that were available. One option was where it currently is. They just rebuild at the Truman Sports Complex. One option was still in Missouri, but not at the Truman Sports Complex. The other one was in Kansas. I think we all know where it would go. I voted number one. I want them to stay at the Truman Sports Complex. I either want them to, again, sink $1.5 billion into the current structure that they have and modernize it, like we saw the Bears do with Soldier Field, like we saw the Packers do with Lambeau Field. There is a precedent for this. They're not the only people to do this. We saw Fenway Park do this. We've seen Wrigley do this. We saw Allen Fieldhouse just do this. Just continue doing what you've been doing. You got something really great here. Pump some more money into it. Keep people happy. And I think everyone likes where the stadium currently is. It works for everybody. Or if they're not going to do that, I want them to do what the Cardinals just did. The Cardinals had Old Busch Stadium. They tore that stadium down. They built a new, better one right next to it. They built a nice little village right next to it, and they've continued to play baseball. The Yankees did something very similar. They had Old Yankee Stadium. They tore it down. They built New Yankee Stadium right there next to it, and life continued to move on. So, number one, renovation. Number two, whenever you demolish Kauffman Stadium and you move the Royals somewhere else because the Royals are not staying at the Truman Sports Complex, there's going to be a whole lot of room there. Room that the Chiefs have never had. If you really want a new stadium that bad, just build one across the street. You keep the stadium that you already have. You don't need any delays. You continue to build that stadium, and eventually everybody moves right across the street, and you tear the other stadium down, and then you put cool things in its place. So that would be my number two thing. I am not totally against the idea of Kansas. This is why. I told you guys what my number one and number two is. Number three would be move to Kansas. I don't really think them staying in Missouri but not staying where they are makes a lot of sense. We were talking about this earlier, and some people threw out the idea of where Independence Mall is, Independence Center. I just can't really see a scenario that the Chiefs are going to build a new stadium, not in the same parking lot that they already have, not where their practice facility already is. They're now going to move 10 minutes down the street with worse highway access. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me for the Chiefs. Like, that's just not a viable location to me for the Chiefs. For the amount of people that you need, I just don't think that right there the highway is really built to accommodate everybody where it is. So if that's the option, then just move to Kansas. I don't love the idea. I wish that they stayed in Missouri, but it's not like where they are is that bad. Like, I've been to Sporting Kansas City games. It's all right. I've been to a NASCAR game out there. It's all right. I've been to festivals out there. It'll be fine if that's where they move. Again, that is not my number one, not my number two option. But if you were telling me today the Royals are hell-bent, there is no way that they're doing anything further in the Truman Sports Complex, where should they be? I think they should go out to the Legends. I think that makes the most sense for what they need and what I think is most accommodating for all of us. What the Chiefs need is space and highway access. A way for you to get out of there very easily. They have that right now where they are. There's not too many other places in the city that I think allow you that kind of highway access. And you need space for tailgating. Tailgating works at Arrowhead because of where the Royal Stadium is. You have all of this room. There's just not a lot of places in the city that allow you the amount of land and space that the Chiefs and the Royals currently have for tailgating. So you need a place that keeps that. Obviously, tailgating should be a focal point of wherever they move the new stadium to. I don't care if the stadium's in Independence, Blue Springs, Overland Park. I don't care. Tailgating is a major part of the Kansas City Chiefs experience. I know that. They know that. So they're definitely going to keep that intact. So, Rob, that would be my options if they are thinking about leaving where they currently are.
Here's my question, because I actually agree with you logically. There's no reason to put them in North Kansas City or what. I'm just picking another spot, Missouri. There's no reason to do that. But we both know the logic behind this survey. The logic behind this survey is not, you know, let's just figure out what the fans are thinking. They are going to, in theory, use this data to press forward their stadium plan. That is their goal. And right now, on the text line, there are hardline Missouri people who are saying, why would you do that? I'm going to vote for Missouri or stay. Those are the two best options. And if you are a hardliner, may not you specifically, but in general, I think that's your best path, because I do not think the Chiefs are going to say 51% of people said stay at Truman Sports, 39% of people said Kansas, and then the other 10% said we're going to go to Missouri. We will go with the majority. It's a true voting process. I think they're going to look at the data and then make the best financial decision for them going forward. And if you are a Missouri hardliner, letting the Kansas option be one of the top options creates a potential problem for you, because we both know, and it's not some industry secret, it is cheaper for Clark Hunt and his bottom line to move to Kansas via star bonds and things of that nature than renovate Truman Sports Complex.
I don't know if that's 100% true yet for this reason. We've never really heard what the Missouri plan is. All we've really heard is the extension of this tax. That's all we've ever really heard. Kansas has presented what they want their next plan to be. We haven't really heard Missouri present what their next plan is going to be to try to keep the teams. So let's see what their plan is. Kansas has made, I think, a very viable offer to attract the teams over to that side of state line. Still now, a year later, after the failing of the tax, we've never really heard what Missouri's plan is. And I do think that the Missouri side of things, I do think they have the right approach. hey, the next time that you approach people with an idea of what you're going to pay for, you need to have all your ducks in a row. And I don't think there is anybody that thinks whether the Chiefs or the Royals had all their ducks in a row the last time they had us to make this decision. So this is the kind of stuff that goes on a bye week when the Chiefs don't play this week and we have no clue who the Chiefs are going to play. This was very strategic of when they put this out. This survey they could have put out at the end of the season, very, very easily. They put this out on a Thursday, Friday of the bye week. They're pretty smart over there. Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by Bob Fesco. We'll make that hit number one. Fesco has been all over the stadium talk over the last year or so. Bob, man, happy to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Carrington. It's an honor and a privilege to join you.
Absolutely, Bob. So my biggest takeaway from all of this is they are really gauging people's interest on this personal seat license. I don't know if you took the survey or read the survey or not. They had 10 pages that was dedicated to how much basically you would spend for a PSL. It is already very expensive to go to a Chiefs game. I'm not telling somebody anything they don't know. It is about to get much more expensive if they are completely starting over on a stadium to be able to attend a Chiefs game.
Yeah, it's going to be more. And, you know, that's the cost of doing business in the NFL these days. You know, every stadium that's been built within recent memory, and I'm talking back into the 90s because I remember the Rams did this over in St. Louis in the 90s, and that was the early 90s when they built, you know, the TWA Dome. They charged the personal seat license. And what it is, it's a one-time fee that you can obviously break up over payments or pay all in front, however you want to do it, and you own the rights to that seat. So whatever events are in that stadium, you get the right to buy the tickets, first right of refusal, if you will, to have your seat for that event. So if Taylor Swift comes back in a few years and you have that seat, that ticket is yours if you want it. Or, you know, if they bring the Final Four or Super Bowls, you'll have access to, you know, have an opportunity to buy tickets to those big events that are, you know, going to be potentially at a new stadium, you know, if that's the route that the Chiefs want to go. And so, you know, I love the fact that they put out that survey yesterday, letting everybody know. And yesterday was the first time it was, I use the term monumentous because I don't know what else to use. So it was kind of a monumentous occasion, if you will, because yesterday was really the first time that we actually heard from the Chiefs saying PSLs and not people like me and you talking about the potential of PSLs.
I just don't know how a PSL can be really viewed as something good for the fans. I'm sure the Chiefs are going to try to spin it as this being some really good thing and they're trying to keep up with all the other teams in the NFL. Essentially, what I think the Chiefs are trying to do is they're trying to bite off both ends of the apple. They want us to help pay for their stadium, and then they're going to tax you even more on these PSLs, and then that money is going to go towards paying for the stadium that you guys just took my tax dollars from.
Well, and it depends on where the stadium is, you know, and what kind of tax dollars are going to be used. And I believe if it's going to be a renovated Arrowhead, they're still looking for the same amount of money that they were looking for a year ago from the state, the county, whoever it was, whatever Frank White screwed up at that point in time. I think it was like $500 million that the Chiefs were looking for, and they were going to put in an additional $300 million to make it $800 million or whatever the number was. They still need that type of investment for a renovated Arrowhead Stadium. And I believe, and again, this is me believing, this is my words, not anything that's, you know, but it's an educated guess. I think they just want to have a tax put in for that, and if they're going to renovate in Missouri. If they're going to build new, and if they do build new, it will be in Kansas. I'm 99.9% confident in that. Then they will use that personal seat license as opposed to a quote-unquote tax, because if they do it in Kansas, as we know, Kansas has those star bonds or TIF bonds, whatever they call them these days, in place that will be basically a user tax. If you use the stadium, you use the stuff around the stadium, then you will pay the tax that way, and then on top of, you know, the PSLs if they build new.
That's interesting you say that, because I think that this is, I guess, how I would rank it is. Number one, I want them to put $1.2 billion toward the structure that they already have. We saw, you know, Fenway Park did this before. We saw Lambeau Field did this. We saw Soldier Field do this. Just put a lot of money into the structure that you already have and preserve it for the next however long. I would say number two is them doing what the Cardinals did. They had Old Busch Stadium. They tore Old Busch Stadium down. They had New Busch Stadium. That was right across the street. So just Arrowhead 2.0 still at the Truman Sports Complex. And then three would be new stadium in Kansas. It sounds like you don't really think there is any chance that they build a new stadium where they currently are.
No, I don't. I mean, you know, it just doesn't feel that way to me. It feels like from all the folks that I've talked to on this, it's either going to be renovated in Missouri or new in Kansas. And I don't care, you know, which side of the state line or what they decide to do. The only problem that I have with renovating Carrington is that you're going to invest probably about $1 billion when it's all said and done in renovating a stadium that I believe they feel they can get another 20 years out of. So why would you spend that when you can pay double and get a brand new venue with a roof on top to get all the events that we need here in Kansas City to continue to grow us, you know, as a sports town and to continue to you know, keep us on the map when it comes to the biggest events in the world? You know, obviously the World Cup is coming here. If there was a PSL, I'm sure there would be an opportunity for you to buy tickets, you know, to a World Cup event and things like that if you are a PSL holder. So back to your original kind of point, that's how they sell it to fans. You have access to all the tickets to all the events that are going to be taking place in that stadium. And if at some point in time you don't want the PSL anymore, you could sell it to somebody else. And if I bought it for $4, I'd turn around and sell it to you for $5, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I guess I think a lot of people have this fear, which I think maybe we're just past this point, is I think a lot of fans are thinking, hey, I have stood by this team and now they are pricing the average fan out of it. I would just push back in. I hate to use the term push back, is I would say the NFL is doing that. The NFL has started to just piece games off. They made it $400 for Sunday ticket. They're now putting playoff games on Amazon Prime. They're putting games on Christmas Day on Netflix. Like, they have been chipping away at free games on Sunday for a very long time. Here, this is just a continuation of that. They have told you, I think, in a lot of ways, you are done watching the NFL for free. You either going to go to the game and pay a lot of money, or now, if you want to continue to watch the games on television, it is going to be much more expensive to do so.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing. You looked at the television numbers, at least I did. They talked about there was a little decrease in ratings this year for the NFL. You know what the only two decreases in ratings were for the NFL? CBS and Fox, which gets your noon and 3 o'clock games, which if there are any games worth a damn at noon and 3 o'clock on CBS, they're parceling them off for Amazon, for, Peacock, for Netflix, for whoever the case may be. So that's why CBS and Fox's numbers went down. And if I'm CBS and Fox, I'm going back to the table and going, all right, fellas, you've taken care of everybody else. We're still paying $1 billion a piece every single year. And we've been your TV partners since basically day one on this thing. And you're giving us Jags Colts every Sunday. Like, that's not worth our investment. So when the TV networks start to push back a little bit, I think that's when you'll see some of it come down. But Carrington, it's crazy. Like, I was talking a couple of weeks ago to folks in the parking lot when we were tailgating before one of the games about the potential of PSLs. And these are season ticket holders. They're not folks that I would consider, like, you know, ne'er-the-wells or, you know, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies or anything, just regular guys and gals and whatnot. Well, all of them seemed okay with paying that PSL, which really shocked me, because I think when you hear the term PSL, it's a negative connotation. But I think a lot of fans like the comfortability of being able to know that they're going to be in that seat for any event inside that stadium. They've got the right of refusal. They look at it as a resale opportunity as well, potentially. You know, if Taylor Swift comes here, you get the opportunity to buy at face value. Then you can flip the tickets for 10 times, you know, what you purchased them for, even for the Chiefs games. A lot of people that have season tickets are making a boatload of money right now in the resale market. So people look at that as another way to, you know, to bring in some income. You buy your Chiefs season tickets, let's say right now, for $5,000, just for round number sake. You sell half or three quarters of your season tickets, you probably could get 10 grand out of that, double your money.
How important do you think are the other events to the Chiefs?
To the Chiefs, I think they're very important, because I think that's where you can make a lot of extra money. And the good thing about the NFL is that they share all their money, but you get to keep all the money that you make inside your stadium. And so I think that's vital for the organization, especially in a market, you know, like Kansas City. But also, when you're talking, you know, you always hear those terms when the general managers say cash versus cap. Cash is real, cap is fake, but you have to have that cash on hand. So to have more events brings in more cash, more ability to keep your guys here, maybe bring in guys from that free agent market, continue to pay guys the signing bonuses to keep them here in Kansas City and keep this thing going as long as we possibly can. So I think the events are vital for this organization in the big picture.
Two final questions here, Bob, and I appreciate your time. Do you have any idea on a timetable we will have for this survey? It feels like something. They're going to give people a reasonable amount of time to try to fill this thing out. And maybe in, you know, 30, 60, 90 days, we'll get an update on the survey. It is a lot. And I will be very interested to see if they release the data from this thing of anyway. Like, what did people say? Do people want the stadium to be renovated? Do they want it to move? move? Do they want a roof? Do they want a open-air stadium? There was a lot of really important questions in this survey.
There is a ton of important. Like, it was a great survey, Carrington, and it kind of gave you an insight as to what they're thinking, both from a renovated standpoint and from a new build standpoint. And so I think everybody should take the survey, whether you're a season ticket holder or go to the games or not, just to kind of understand what they're trying to do so you're up on it and you've got all the information. It's a time consumer. Give yourself about 30 minutes to complete both of the surveys, but you'll kind of have an understanding and an idea of what they're trying to do when it comes to a renovated stadium and a new build. So I really like the survey. I'm glad they did. This is, a big reason why the Royals thing failed. And it was a Chiefs thing as well, but it was led by the Royals, obviously. The Royals should have done stuff like this. They should have been out in front talking to their fans and asking them what they wanted. We got a text this morning that said, I took the survey. I'm just glad they're asking for my opinion. I don't care what they do was the text, Garrett. Like, I don't care if they build new or they renovate. I'm just glad they're asking me. And I think that's where really the Royals missed the boat, and that's why they're – stadium plan and the plan that we had back in April ultimately failed, because it felt like they were telling us what they were going to do, and it feels like now the Chiefs asking what people want.
Yeah, but I do wonder if that's just all an illusion, that the Chiefs are trying to make you feel like you are a part of the process, and then in the end, right, they're going to say, well, we've taken all this information. This is what we're doing. Wait, hold on. Like, this isn't what any – like I guess maybe where you and I are different. I don't think anybody wants a PSL. I think ultimately PSLs are bad for fans and only good for the owners and for a team and a sport that tries to take every single dollar out of your pocket. They have now just created another way to get an extra $3,000 to $5,000 out of you.
Well, they have. You're right. I don't disagree with any of that. I don't disagree at all about the PSLs and nobody wanting to pay that extra money. But until people stop paying that extra money, the NFL is going to continue to do it. Like, I was just thinking, a couple of hours ago, this playoff game on Amazon Prime on Saturday night. How many people have you heard from complaining that game's on Amazon Prime? But a year ago, when it was on Peacock, everybody was complaining. And I felt like to myself, like, the NFL's already got us conditioned. We just know on some streaming service there's going to be a playoff game. And I didn't sense anybody complaining this year, because I think people have kind of gotten used to this is the new NFL.
That makes a lot of sense. That is our guy Bob Fesco joining us on the show today. Bob, man, always happy to have you join us on the show, man. Thanks a lot for hopping on today.
Anytime, man. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Absolutely. You too. That is Bob Fesco joining us on the show today. Wanted to catch up with him. Bob has been as well-versed on this as anybody. We'll get back to the NFL coming up in just a bit. I need to take maybe 2 minutes to express some frustration in myself. I believed in Penn State. I really did. I thought that Penn State was going to be different. I thought the playoff was going to be different. It was not. It was more of the same. James Franklin is 1-15 at Penn State against teams ranked in the top 5. 4-20 against teams that are ranked in the top 10. 15-29 against ranked opponents. He has played 20 games against either Michigan or Ohio State. Penn State has only won 4 of those games. Just hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray is what I was by Penn State yesterday. They had so many opportunities and chances to win that game, and they had absolutely no interest in it. I cannot think of the last time that we have watched a major football game, whether it's college or the NFL, and not a single wide receiver had a catch. You heard me correctly. No wide receiver on Penn State had a catch in the national semifinal. I mean, Notre Dame's defense is good. It ain't that good. And they were telling me that this Drew Aller kid's got a chance to play in the pros. That's what they were telling me. I was reading a story yesterday on Bleacher Report that if he balled out these next 2 weeks, he could be as high as a top 5 pick. If you think that, you're high. Hoodwinked, led astray, bamboozled, run amok is what I was. Never again. I will never take Penn State seriously again on this show, ever. They fooled me too many times this year, way too many times. They fooled me against Ohio State at home earlier this year. They fooled me against Notre Dame. They played Oregon. Penn State was only in this position to get to the Final Four because they got to play SMU and Boise State. If they had played a real team in either of the first two rounds, they would have lost to them too. They would have lost to Arizona State. They would have lost to basically anybody other than the two mid-major schools they played. Fraudulent behavior from Penn State yesterday. Congratulations to Notre Dame. Rob told us at the very beginning of the playoff he was picking Notre Dame to win this thing. They have now made it to the national championship game. We got two teams left to play tonight. We got Texas. We got Ohio State. I think Ohio State is the best team in the country. I think Ohio State could potentially, I think we're looking at a potential beat them down today. I think we're looking at a beat them down. Texas has been kind of shaky all year. They got dominated in their two games by Georgia up front. They looked just okay last week against Arizona State. I think that Ohio State is playing right now as well as any team in college football has played this year. I think there's a chance that Texas goes out there and really gets the beats coming up later today. Coming up on the other side, let's get back to the NFL. Let's talk about the actual games. We got five games this weekend, six games over the next couple of days in the National Football League. We'll get to the playoff next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I noticed that maybe I'm getting a little soft. When I heard that it was going to snow, I really went into a panic yesterday. I was really worried. I was like, no, not again. You can't do this again. And then when I went outside today, I was like, you know what, man? It really wasn't that bad. I'm a little squeamish right now. You hear a car backfire, you're ducking under tables. I don't need to be doing this. I'm just over what's happening outside. I'm over. We don't need anymore. We got the point. It's not funny anymore. We've heard this joke. I don't want any more snow. I don't want any more ice. I don't want any more inclement weather. Rob, I saw something on Fox 4. Can I read it to you real quick? Can I just read to you?
Is it going
to
make me sad about the weather?
Possibly.
Okay.
We have had this season, 14 and a half inches of snow so far this season. That is more snow than Minneapolis has received. That's more snow than Des Moines, Omaha, Chicago, Milwaukee, and Green Bay. I don't ever want to be on that list ahead of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Now, I don't know much about Green Bay, but I just imagine from November until March, it just snows constantly. That's how I think of it. Minneapolis, that's all I think of is the snow. They don't even have snow days. They're just regular days. I don't ever want to be in a category where we got more snow than those cities. Chicago, with that lake effect snow, Milwaukee. I don't want any more snow for the rest of the year. Not an inch. We have all the snow that we can deal with. We are at capacity for snow. We can't let any more snow in. I just wanted to share that stat with you, Rob. That was it. Let me share another stat with you because I think this stat is very important. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, and I will stop. I feel like there's a lot of the Broncos can win sentiment on the text line. I feel like there's a lot of it. Now, maybe, you guys are a little worried about Buffalo, and you kind of want the Broncos to go do the dirty work for you guys, and there's only one team that beat the Chiefs this year, so you want somebody else to do it. Maybe that's it subconsciously. This stat is the only stat I need. Rookie quarterbacks in NFL playoff history have made 22 starts on the road. Their teams are 5-17. I can't pick the Broncos this week. I'm sorry. Maybe the Broncos are more competitive than I think they're going to be. Maybe they cover the spread. I cannot pick them to win. Same thing for the Washington Commanders. History has just told you that's not the side you need to be on. You need to be on the side of the Bills. You need to be on the side of Tampa Bay. experienced veteran quarterback who has won playoff games. You need to be on that side. I cannot pick the Broncos to win this game. I've been a Broncos proponent for most of the year. Hey, congratulations. You guys made the postseason for the first time in 10 years. Salute to you guys. Congratulations. I'm not picking the Broncos to go on the road and win this game. There will possibly be an upset in the playoffs. I do not think it's going to be the 7-seed Denver Broncos that needed to beat a Chiefs team that was not trying in Week 18 to make the postseason. No, I don't think it's going to be them. That team couldn't go on the road a couple of weeks ago when they absolutely needed to beat the Cincinnati Bengals and win. Now they're going on the road and beating the Buffalo Bills that are coming off of a bye? Absolutely not. I can't do it. I'm not buying it. I'm not believing it. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The text line has also been giving me grief about my feelings toward the Chargers. I kind of think the Chargers are dangerous. I know you're laughing and thinking, of course you think that. Justin Herbert was a little bit better than you think he was this season. Their defense was a little bit better than you think they were this season. The Chargers quarterback this year threw for 3,800 yards. He completed 66% of his passes. He had 23 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Herbert played like a high-end quarterback. That's a team that has a good coach, a team that has a good quarterback, and the Chargers allowed fewer points than any team in the National Football League. I think of outside of our teams that we have in our VIP lounge, we got 5 teams in the VIP lounge. We got the 3 big dogs in the AFC, Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo. And then we got Detroit and Philadelphia in the NFC. Those teams are in. I think the Chargers are the most dangerous of any of the rest of those teams. They got the coach, they got the quarterback, they got the defense, and they play their first round game against who could be the worst team in the postseason in the Houston Texans. The Chargers are potentially a dangerous team heading into the postseason. Outside of that, Rob, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Green Bay Packers. A lot of that is just based off what I saw in the regular season. The Packers just didn't beat anybody. And anytime they played a team that I thought was actually good, a team that I think could win the Super Bowl, they lost every single one of those games. So maybe they win this game. They're certainly capable enough. Jordan Love's a good quarterback. They go on the road. They pull off the upset. Sure, I cannot pick them. They fooled me too many times this year to believe that Green Bay has the capability of going on the road and winning against the Eagles on Sunday.
Let me ask you a question, because we both know how I'm going to call it Super Wild Card Weekend. Screw the NFL for changing it. We both know how Super Wild Card Weekend goes. It's not going to be chalk. There is going to be an upset, whether it be like based on seed or based on against the spread. Someone is falling in the first weekend. Remember last year, everyone thought, oh, the Texans just aren't ready. The Browns are going to go to Houston with Joe Flacco.
And Flacco laid an egg.
And Flacco laid a giant egg, and the Texans thumped them. There have been upsets in Super Wild Card Weekend. We see it almost every year.
I don't think it's
those
teams.
You're pretty chalky, though, right now.
I think it's the Rams. Like, if you're asking me right now to pick, if I could only pick.
Is that an upset, though? I know they're against the spread,
but that's an upset, though.
They're a home team. I guess that's the same as Houston last year.
Yeah, I mean, there's also a lot of reasons how I could see the Rams just end up getting blown out now with everything that's going on. It has been a long, emotionally draining week for the Rams. They now take the home field advantage away from the Rams, and they're going up against a team that won 14 games. There is a lot of things where Minnesota just comes out focused and just dominates the Los Angeles Rams. If you're telling me right now there's one upset, that's the upset that I see. I think there is a possibility that the Rams win their game. I would also say then the next possibility, if we're saying like we're going strictly for upsets, then would be Green Bay. But I don't like the Broncos this week. I don't like the Commanders this week. The Steelers look like a team that ran out of gas, and now you are asking them to push their car for a couple more miles. They ran out of gas 3 weeks ago. We just saw them. They had a 3-game stretch, the same stretch that Kansas City had, the same stretch that Baltimore has, and they look cooked to me. And then follow that up the next week after extended time to rest against the Cincinnati Bengals. They had, 11 days to rest for the Cincinnati Bengals. They then came out and they scored 17 points against Cincinnati. I think it's over for them. Maybe they're a little bit more competitive divisional matchup. They always match up well against the Ravens. I think they're done. I think this year it was pretty clear in the NFL who the haves were and who the have-nots. And I think that line was set probably midway through the year. We knew who the good teams were and who the teams were that we didn't need to pay attention to. And I think that this week is the culmination of that. To look at it from a gambling perspective, this has been the year of the favorites, right? Once we got past the first 5-6 weeks of the season, the favorites have dominated down the stretch. I don't know now why in the postseason with those favorites now being the home teams. I mean, half of those favorites were able to rest the final week of the season. The Eagles got to rest the final week of the season. Buffalo got to rest the final week of the season. I just don't know now why it's not going to be chalky when the NFL has been chalky for the last 2 months. So it's obviously possible I will end up being wrong. But I feel pretty confident that this weekend in the NFL is going to kind of go exactly how we think it's going to go. Maybe Minnesota and the Rams game ends up giving us that excitement, but I think the favorites are going to continue their trend, and I think the favorites are going to continue to win. All right, coming up in about 40 minutes or so, we have another college football playoff game. We'll get to that. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive. With Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We didn't spend a lot of time talking about this today, but the first team All-Pro teams came out today, as well as the second team. There have been three Chiefs that have been named the first team. Chris Jones was named the first team. Joe Tooney was also named to the first team, as well as Creed Humphrey. On the second team, Trent McDuffie was named. I didn't get a chance to look this up. I'm sure somebody has this stat out there. I'd love to see the corners who were named to two All-Pro teams in the first 3 years of their career and compare that to Trent McDuffie. The Chiefs are not going to be able to get the Trent McDuffie discount for too much longer. I think they could maybe get it for one more year. I think it's possible they get it for one more year. I could see a scenario in which they don't pay Trent McDuffie this offseason. They kind of communicated to him, you know how we feel about you, and we're going to pay you. We just need you to wait one more year, and we'll take care of you at the end of your fourth year. That's kind of what the Cowboys did with Micah Parsons. I could see them doing something similar with Trent McDuffie, but we talked about this yesterday, I guess maybe 2 days ago when we had Mike Gennetti on the show. The guys that are doing hometown deals are not guys in the prime of their career. The Chiefs paid what the market says Creed Humphrey is worth. They paid what Chris Jones is worth. You got A1 talent. That's what Trent McDuffie is. Trent McDuffie is one of the five best corners in the National Football League. That's what everybody is telling you. You don't get that guy for a hometown discount. You pay what the market says that he's worth. And the market says that Trent McDuffie is worth somewhere between $20 and $22 million a year. I know that's a lot. I know that's what the Chiefs usually don't do with that position. They also haven't had a corner as good as Trent McDuffie has been. I know we talk about Snead like he was an All-Pro. Well, he wasn't. McDuffie is actually those things. It also really goes to show you how goofy the Pro Bowl is, that Trent McDuffie can be a second-team All-Pro player and then not be named to the Pro Bowl team. He also was a first-team Pro Bowler last year and then didn't make the Pro Bowl team. It goes to show you how goofy the Pro Bowl process is and how people just don't take it seriously the way that they should. That someone as good as Trent McDuffie can be named to All-Pro and then he has two All-Pro appearances but doesn't have a Pro Bowl appearance, it doesn't make any sense. But those are the four players. Trey Smith was actually like narrowly on the outside looking in when it came to the All-Pro. Would have been cool if he had been named there, especially going into his contract year, going into free agency, but he narrowly just missed the All-Pro conversation. I do think something else was very interesting. If you were looking at the All-Pro, which is actually a pretty good indication of who the MVP is going to be, the MVP is now going to be Lamar Jackson. He was named to the first team. I think it was he got 36 votes, and then Josh Allen got 16 votes for first team. So Lamar was named to the first team. If you're going off that and who you think is going to win MVP, Lamar Jackson is going to win his third NFL MVP award, excuse me, because he was named to the first team All-Pro.
I mean, I try not to get hung up too much on the Pro Bowl versus All-Pro thing, but it does just highlight how goofy it is.
And very goofy.
Maybe this is going to be an unpopular opinion. That's fine. The Pro Bowl's got to take the fans out of it, because we need to have the Pro Bowl and the All-Pro be in, you know, lockstep. And it seems like what happens is fans goof it up. Because while fans are important, and I'm not discounting fans, they don't watch cornerback play. They don't watch right guard play the same way the AP does. So Trent McDuffie doesn't get a Pro Bowl appearance, but he's considered one of the best five corners in football by the All-Pro. Like, Mitchell Schwartz, who will be on the Fan Football Show, I believe, here in about 10 minutes,
yeah,
told us once that the All-Pro thing is great, but you get a free trip to Hawaii, Orlando, wherever, with the Pro Bowl. Like, the fact that Mitchell Schwartz didn't get that but got the All-Pro is probably a testament to the fact that fans don't really know what they're watching when they watch right tackles, and it hurt his career. It's hurting Trent McDuffie right now. We might need to remove the fan vote from the Pro Bowl or add some sort of uniformity rules or something to clean this up.
Yeah, I just think that the NFL wants their All-Star game to be like baseball and wants it to be like basketball, where I do think that fans are sort of incentivized to vote on your player. Like, it is much more of a game for fans. The Pro Bowl is a game for television. It's not a game for fans, the way that basketball's All-Star game at least should be played, and how baseball's is. So I understand why they have a fan component, but just the way the game is, it's just different than those other games. So I'm with you. If they eliminated this and they just, hey, here are the Pro Bowl players for this upcoming season, I think that could just be a better process and could get kind of some, I don't know, just a lot more respectability is maybe the best way to put it. This is very interesting. Pete Thamel asked Quinn Ewers if he expects to play college football next year. Do you know what he said? He said no. Quinn Ewers said no. Sounds like he's going to the NFL. Where's Quinn Ewers get drafted? Second round pick?
Does he get picked before or after Jalen Milroe? Because they're probably in the same vein.
Before,
to me.
I would say before.
I think they're probably in the same round. Like, if Milroe goes late second, Quinn's mid to early second?
I don't know why. Now, I guess this will be it. If the NIL money is what they keep trying to convince us that it is, like, the people that run NIL try to make us seem like some of these quarterbacks right here getting paid. There was a report out there today that Carson Beck just got $4 million. There's no team in the NFL next season in which Quinn Ewers is getting $4 million. Now, maybe Quinn thinks that he can play himself into the back half of the first round. And yeah, you'd much rather be a first-round quarterback pick than go play at Georgia next year if you're him. But if he's going to go in the second round or later, you need to go back to college. It's just the best financial decision you can make. It's the best financial decision you can make if you're him. That's interesting, though. Do you expect to play college football next year? Quinn Ewers said no. Very interesting. Well, we know he ain't going back to Texas. We do know that much. Arch Manning is starting next year at the University of Texas. All right. I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for rocking with us this week. I know this week was a little bit different. We were off on Monday because of the snowstorm. No Chiefs this week. Uncertainty about who they are going to play. Man, I am excited for Monday. Excited to break down these playoff games. Excited to know who the Chiefs are playing and get you guys ready for what could potentially be one of the greatest runs in the history of American sports. So I'll catch you guys next week. I appreciate you guys so much. I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.